Alvin's parents are here. How are you, Uncle Auntie? Good to see you. I've got a friend called Alvin and the wife who are here. I tell you how Alvin came. I was supposed to send an email. It's a bad thing, but I better say it now. So I was supposed to send an email in the law firm to a certain Alvin. And I told this person to send. Let's call the person Gan. Gan sent to the Alvin, but sent to the wrong Alvin. And the Alvin that he sent to is this guy. Then this guy WhatsApp me and say, I received this email. Is it for me? Then I say, so sorry, it's not for you. And then I caught up with him. The next thing I know, he comes to church. Whatever God wants to do, he will allow. Mistakes also can happen, but something happens good out of it. So I really want to welcome Alvin and the rest to come. I saw this today. I was just having lunch and I went to Tanjung Katong. I saw this eye specialist for animals. When I saw it, Wai Kiong, eye specialist for animals out there, then when we're passing, then we heard over her and I come and say, my goodness, are you serious? Meaning that they also saw it for the first time. Eye specialist for animals. And I talked to Silas, who's got a dog. And Silas says that the dog got some problems and whatever. If you go for this, you're a dog owner, right? It costs 7,000 to 8,000. I don't know about you, but that's a lot of money as far as I'm concerned. I just came back from China, went for some medical attention. It didn't cost that much, still cost a bit of money. Why am I raising this stake? I think sometimes we devote a lot of care to animals, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. We do a lot of time and energy. But on the flip side, I wonder sometimes whether we devote a lot of time to the things we do for human beings. And I want to just, I don't know how to connect it, but I want to tell us there's a need for us as human beings to interact and to connect. And a few things I want to think about is, in a very tangential way, I'm just reminded that if we spend and devote so much time here for our pets, like, I wonder whether we devote enough time to pray for the needs of human beings. Maybe the next thing you have, there'll be a, we have child psychologists, right? Maybe they went psychologist for an animal. Animal got mental health, then you come talk. And I tell you why medical expenses are so expensive for animals. Because they can't talk to you. And the machines, Silas say that the machines for the animals are very high level and very exclusive. And that's why every time you go and see a vet, probably costs more than treating a human being. But how about us really spending time also for our own kids? I'm reminded there's physical health. I'm more into physical health, my kids nowadays, and also mental health. I hear stories about our children. Sometimes there'll be mental issues and a few other things. So with that, I want to kickstart the need for us to pray. And then 1st July onwards, if you can make it, Luther and the rest, I want you to come in at 4:30 if you can. Just for the month of July, we want to start praying at 4:30 up to 5 for the service. And there'll be some prayer prompters. We want to pray for a few things. Number one, I want to pray for ourselves. I want to pray for our family. I want to pray for mental health. I want to pray for spiritual health. I want to pray for people who have just gotten new jobs. I want to pray for the church. And I'm reminded that when I first started this church, God told me the number 200. And I'm reminded again, I'm supposed to hit 200. Sometimes it's easy for people to just pretend, don't say anything. Because if you say a figure 200, you hit a target, right? You're in sales at LV. If I say a target, if you don't hit target, paisei one, you know. But how about I trust God and say, God, you told me 200, I'm going to say out there, I must do it if that's God's will for me and for us. And please don't tell me that number's not important, because every person that comes in, every person comes through is a life saved. I want to just encourage us. So there are a lot of things to pray about. So I want to encourage us, 1st July, we want to really, if you can come at 4:30, some of you can't, maybe you can't come maybe a week, you can only come in for a couple of weeks of July at a certain time, just join in. If you come in 4:45, it's okay. But we'll start 4:30 to 5, and then I think we will then just have the normal service. But by just praying, I think it tells us that human beings are important, animals important too, but pray together, just come together. Esther will lead us in worship. Joe will be there and the rest of us. So 1st July onwards, just know that we want to do that. And then on 1st July, we're running a baptism class as well. I think Gunn is doing it together with Joe perhaps. We want to invite people to get baptized. I know a couple of people already, quite sure, maybe even Wai Kiong and Brian. But really, I want some of us to really, if not anything else, just go and listen. And after you listen, if you decide to do it, at least you know why you're doing. Or if you say, okay, I listen. If I want to do it the next round, fine. But at least go for the thing. So 1st July, we're running that class. Need more details, your cell leaders will tell you. So these are some of the things I want to just send out there. And we want to do it as we come alongside. Today is Father's Day. What a wonderful opportunity. The Mother's Day, I was the one, I went to buy the flowers, you know. Something told me buy flowers for all the people. Sabrina, I went to buy the flowers, and when I got the flowers, and then I gave everyone, right? So after that, I told Joe, can we get something for the fathers today? Then she says, get something for the fathers, and then she says, $2. $10 for the whatever cafe, and said, how about we support Yakun? Yakun, I think they're Christian bosses. Let's support Yakun. Then I told her the flowers actually only cost $2. The flowers for the mothers only cost $2. Then she said, wow, my goodness, the flowers are $2. It's 10, for real, $10. Flowers $2 only, but they look like $10. You see, sometimes when you buy something, it's not the amount, it's how it looks, right? And then I went to buy some more. Some people wearing cap laughing, right? Then she said, like that, so do we get Yakun $2? I said, Yakun $2? Yakun $2 do what? Yakun, you go $2 gun, you get what? The people are looking at $2, you want me to sell you what? So I said, Yakun $10. And I'm sure the ladies who got the roses, they, someone I bought, no, it's worth more than $10, right, June? Correct? Huh? Not rose, but it's priceless, right? Don't you think so? But today we'll give the Yakun. Those who are not here, I think Stanley is sick. Those who are not here, sorry, we don't give. I'm kidding. I told Stanley better come. I told Yip better come. But today, I just want to register and I want to ask Joe to just come pray. Also, if you're a father, that includes Royston's father. You're a father. So today, maybe that's why Shireen go in cahoots with Linda. Make sure they come because they know beforehand that something will happen today. It doesn't happen every time, but every time you come, you get $10 worth. Maybe next time you come, Father's Day, maybe next week, next year, $25 we see, because inflation. Then the flowers next year, maybe $1 because I get them cheap. Yeah. I think she needs some deliverance a little at the side. So can I invite all the fathers? Elvin, you see, there's must be a reason why you're coming. $10 or so. So today, very good. All the fathers, can you just come forward? I really want to appreciate you for the rest of us. So can you, if a father, can you just come forward? Come, fathers. The eye specialist can take away already that I see in the animal. If you're a father, just come. Okay. Fathers, all come. Thank you. Yeah. I asked Joe to just pray for the fathers. Can the fathers come? We use even myself. I want to really ask Joe to pray for us. And if you are a wife or a mother, whatever, can you just stretch out your hands? He could be your husband as well. Come.
It's an honor to pray for fathers. Fathers, at a time such as this, you all have a very important role. You're raising the next generation of young Christians, born in a Christian family for a purpose, for a reason. Your son, Ruijie, is not in my family. My Joshua is not in your family because God has a destiny for him as you being the father for Ruijie. And same for TG to be the father for Joshua. So our children into each and family is anointed. And today I want to pray this Psalms 127 over you. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. So, Father, you all have a very important role, that you all have to come to God to submit yourself to the Lord Almighty. Then His power, His wisdom, His revelation, His understanding will come upon you to lead your children, to raise your children, to walk in the way of the Lord. For that is what is important. And next thing that comes to my mind is fear of the Lord. We have to train our children to be fear, to come with fear of the Lord, not fear of the world. The world will have the noise that will come to them and tell them all things that is going to distract them. But we're going to point them back to one person, and one most important person, and that's Jesus. Jesus at the cross. And I want to just seal this to your father, and that children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, the children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. So whatever enemies you face, do not fear. The Lord is with you and for you, working through you. So whatever you lack, seek the Lord and it will come true. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Come, let's raise our hands. I want the ladies to just stand. I think it's important we pray for our husbands and what have you. Come, let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for Joe's powerful prayer now in Jesus' name. I just see one word, love. And I pray for you, Leon, Malcolm, Elvin, Yip, Luther, TG, Silas, Wilson, Royston's uncle, Royston's father, Royston, Gan, Wai Kyong, Wing, myself, and those who are not well today or not able to come or traveling. Lord, thank you that you are with us. And I pray in Jesus' name that the love of God will constrain these men of God. So that, Lord, the love of God will propel them to do the work of this kingdom. So, Lord, today, not only will you bless them, but will you remind them and also the married with their wife to remember today to really thank God for their wife and their children. That, Lord, if there's anything that is not of you, will you reverse that so that today marks a change? That something new has stirred in the hearts of the people. And those who are not believers, those who are not baptized, even Royston's father, Lord, in Jesus' name, there's a reason why he's here today. Lord, bless him, set him apart. May he hear the word of God. So, Father, we thank you, bless you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much. TG is the one giving all away. There's some with $100, $200 type. $10 is the minimum. Yeah, kidding. Without further ado, can we just welcome Royston, who's bringing the word of God today? Come, can we welcome Royston? Thank you.
Thank you. I think you gotta go back to slide one. Just now we test slide. So, yep, thank you. So good afternoon to everyone. Pray that you guys are ready to receive God's word today speedily. Because I believe I will beat the gangster today by ending a little bit faster because we have communion. So, fingers crossed. But anyway, before I start, interestingly, my sister, who is sitting over there, asked me, hey, why you dress like that? I tell her, because we marketplace ministry, ma. That's why we dress like that. Then she said, oh, okay. Anyway, it's true. Okay, Agora, we are marketplace ministry. So, we are so blessed. Anyway, today we are still on this series, the H&M series, His Name Matters. And I will be sharing about one of God's many names, and it's up on the slide, which read Jehovah Nissi. So as we all know, Silas started the series for all of us, and he shared this verse, you know, Proverbs 22. It reads, a good name is more desirable than great riches. It's so true, and such a good reminder. So I'm not sure whether is it coincidence or not, but if you ask my kids, they know that I always reminded them that one's reputation, Hokkien calls it miasia. Okay, our miasia is the most invaluable asset that any one of us possess. This is actually my angmo version of what my dad has taught me and my siblings since we were kids. He would always tell us that 做人爱起来这样. That's what he always tells us. So it's translated, those that don't speak Hokkien, it's translated as being upright in character, always. So jumping back to what I would say to my kids. So I told them that one can lose all their possessions, but must not sacrifice their reputation. Because you can be poor, but if your reputation is no good, you know, then you cannot walk around, you know, with your head held high. And, you know, that definitely beat those who may be rich, but has a bad reputation. You know, so stinky that they can't walk around, or they would probably walk around suspiciously of themselves and others around them. So indeed, names explain character, but it also shows identity, image, and it also connect us with our culture, belief, and value system. And in the marketplace, the term that encapsulates all these components, I believe, is called brand. And our brand here is we are children of God, a royal priesthood, co-heir with Christ Jesus. We are so blessed. Amen. So our God, our Heavenly Father, He gives name. He has personally named every one of us through our earthly parents, and our names have significance. So coming back, every name of God represents a different character that God has. So let's look at the significance of what Jehovah Nissi is all about. So Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. So interestingly, the story behind today's sharing is one that contains many firsts. Okay? The story is found in Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 to 16. So here we go. This name, Jehovah Nissi, was first and only once mentioned, in the Bible, which is Exodus 17, verse 15. The story behind this name also saw Israel becoming known as a full-fledged nation for the first time. It's the first battle that Israel fought as a nation. It is also the first time that Israel assembled its army made up of servants that were escaping from Egypt. It's the first battle that Joshua led as the commander of the Israeli army, if there was such a term back then. And it's also the first altar that Moses built after leading the Israelites out of Egypt. And it's also the first time that God specifically instructed Moses to record a particular event that happened in 17 verse 18 to 16. So how amazing is that? I pray that you are as excited as I was learning more about this powerful name. And if you are not, is it because you are in a situation that you just want to run away from? Are you running away from troubles and challenges in your life? Then today's message is also for you. We are looking at God that sees us. The beauty of that is our God is always on top of our situation. No two ways about it. He sees us where we are, our God, and we have heard. He is a provider. He is a healer. And He is a shepherd. These are all beautiful attributes of our God. And today, we'll be looking at another one. We'll be looking at Jehovah Nissi. So Jehovah Nissi, okay, the Lord is my banner. So Nissi can also be read as Ness, as you can see from the slide. And the word Nissi, my banner, is also connected to the roots of a verb, the Hebrew verb read as laset, which means to carry, to lift, and to raise up. And lastly, Nissi can also mean a flag, a sign, or an ensign. So those who don't know me, I spent more than 30 years in the army, so the next few slides is a bit military in background. But it is very apt for what we are talking about today. So what do you see? Raised flags and banners, right? Yeah, this is a scene from a medieval battlefield. And you look at the flag, what do they stand for and what are they used for? The flag and banners represent identity. It also describes the coat of arms, which is which family you're from, which lineage you're from. And it can also show which country you belong to. And in the midst of all the chaos, as you can see from the picture, the flag, the banner, is also a means to rally the troops and also to set the pace of the military advance. And it is also a sign of victory. So when the flag, when the ensign flies at the end of the day, after the battle is done, it means that side has won. But if your flag falls it means you are in defeat. And the flag, the standard or the symbol, is typically carried by the most junior officer, actually also known as an ensign. So, moving fast forward, you know, to the 19th century, this is a scene in Gettysburg in the American Civil War. You know, the tradition of bearing a flag and ensign continue even to that time in the battlefield. Okay, further forward, current times. Something very familiar to all of us. We see this during every year's National Day or SAF Day. What you see here is known as the color party. If you are not known, this is what it's called. So the flag are called colors, and we adopted this military tradition from the Brits, you know, during the colonial times, obviously. So anyway, the flags or the colors, as you can see here, are used these days more for ceremonial purposes. They are no longer carried out to the battlefield, not anymore at least, but the purpose has not changed, as you can see. Okay, these colors, they are a form of identity. It is also a symbol of pride, because I'm not sure if you can see, the colors, some of them, a lot of them has streamers. The streamers are achievements. If you look at the yellow one right in the middle, that is the color for 1st Commando Battalion. It has many streamers because they are the best combat unit for the year, for example. Then they get that streamer. Anyway, it is also a symbol of excellence. And when the color party marches past you, as a sign of respect, everyone is expected to stand up, and all the military personnel must present a salute. So this is how significant a banner is from the past to modern day. But moving forward, So coming back, Jehovah Nissi. Okay, we now know that it means the Lord is my banner. So today we will be deep diving into the word banner or Nissi. While the name Jehovah Nissi was only mentioned once in the book of Exodus, this particular verse, the word banner or banners appeared in the NIV version of the Bible a total of only 18 times. So we will talk about a couple of them, but what is amazing is the first time you see this name, Jehovah Nissi. Did you know what is happening in the relationship to the context in which we find the name in the story in the book of Exodus? The story has so many similarities to the story of many of our lives at present, which is what does it mean to fight? What does it really mean to fight? To fight the urge to run away from our troubles, from our burdens, from our problems, but to actually turn around and face them instead. What is God calling us to do? What does God want us to do? What is the power in the name of God that we'll be talking about today? So if you have your Bible or your electronic Bible, we'll be running through the story where this name was mentioned, which is from Exodus 17, verses 8 to 16. I will stop a few times as there are some very great findings in the about what I've searched inside these verses that I would like to share with you. Sorry. So, first up, the story starts with the Amalekites coming and attacking the Israelite Rephidim, okay, verse 8. So let's talk a little bit about this one. Let's talk about the Amalekites, as it is important to understand why the Israelites were about to go into battle with the Amalekites. So when you go back to the Exodus story, specifically from chapter 3 to 14, and maybe you know, maybe you don't, but God has never been a fan of his people being in oppression and slavery and bondage. He was never a fan of it. So we know that the Israelites were in captivity and God spoke to this unlikely person. We all know, right? Moses, right? And say to him, go and set my people free. So Moses reluctantly goes to the Pharaoh. We all know, huh? And there was this amazing encounter when the Pharaoh was showing off his magician. You know, his magician threw their staff and it changed into snakes. You remember, right? You remember that story, huh? So what did Moses did? Steady. He also threw his staff. His staff also became a snake. But the wonderful thing is, the snake that Moses' staff turned into eat up the snakes of those that were of the magician. What a moment, you know? Don't you agree? I wish I was there to witness the look on the face of Pharaoh. Priceless. So the staff, remember, Moses' staff is authority from God. You know, that incredible moment that I just talked about. And after a string of plague, Pharaoh eventually relented. And the Israelites begin to experience freedom. They started walking away from captivity. But that did not last long. Soon after, the Israelites got to the edge of the Red Sea. We all know what happened, right? What we saw or what the Israelites saw behind were the chasing, the pursuing chariots and army of Pharaoh. And then one thing to recapture the Israelites back into captivity. And for the second time, Moses, with his staff in his hand, plants it into the water, the Red Sea, and the Red Sea parted, and the Israelites were able to walk through it. So you can see that God, time and time again, will provide his children, as we have learned, this is the very nature of our Heavenly Father. So God is a provider. So where is this all going, you may ask? So on the other side of captivity, on the other side of the Red Sea, guess what? There is another group of people that threaten the Israelites. They threaten to destroy them, to wipe them out. And they are the Amalekites that I spoke about. So the Amalekites were truly the first people that ever threatened the Israelites on the other side after they found freedom. So this is where our story actually took off in verse 8, where the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. So a little bit of background about the Amalekites. If you do not know, the Amalekites are also known as the Amaleks. The Amalekites could trace their ancestry back to a man named Amalek. No pun intended. And Amalek, the Bible says, was the grandson of Saul. So the Amalekites can trace their lineage back to a man we are very familiar with. His name is Esau. Surprise, bro, because I was when I researched and I was surprised. You know, anyway, we all know the story, right? Esau, Isaac's firstborn, and he has a brother, famous one, Jacob, who of course later became Israel. We also know that Jacob kind of took away the blessing that Isaac originally wanted to bless Esau. So this fight is somewhat between distant cousins. So I let you guess the probable reason why the Amalekites came and fight the Israelites. However, this was a completely unprovoked attack. You see Israel, right? If you can look at the map, the first blue square, they crossed the Red Sea, they moved down south. The square at the bottom is where Rephidim is. That's where the Amalekites attack the Israelites. So the Israelites did not do anything. They were just on their way. You know, but the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites. And they attacked them in a particularly despicable way. You know, Deuteronomy chapter 25, starting at verse 17, says this: remember what Amalek did to you on the way as you were attacked coming out of Egypt. How they met you on the way and attacked your rear ranks, all the stragglers at your rear, where they were tired and weary, and they did not fear God. there is a huge procession making its way through the wilderness. The hundreds of thousands, if not millions of Israelites coming out of Egypt, and they were making their way out. What are the Amalekites doing? They were picking off the weak and the stragglers at the back. You know, a very cowardly move. And guess what? God knew that too. Nevertheless, Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites." Note, God calls them out to battle. God did not call them to hunger down. He wanted them to go into battle, choose some men, and go out to fight the Amalekites. And tomorrow, okay, this is Moses speaking, "I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." See, the story has got to do with the staff. There is power in the staff. It symbolizes the authority of God. How God's staff became a snake and overtook all the others. How the staff parted the Red Sea. So Moses said, when you are fighting, you as in Joshua, look up to the hill and you are going to see me and you are going to see the staff. So verse 11, this is where we start to encounter a little bit of problem. So Joshua, as we, if you are following, fought the Amalekites as Moses has ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went, three person, went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But when he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. Do you see the problem? So maybe, can you all do me a favor? Raise your hands. Both hands. So according to the context of the story that we've been reading, it was about 14 hours. Okay, 40? I never say put down, eh? Okay, anyway. Hold it up, a bit longer, huh? But, okay, never mind, I can put down. Sound great and easy in theory, Tiobo. I bet Moses must also be thinking about this himself. This is easy, lah. All I have to do is to hold the staff up in my hands. But guess what? First hour pass, no problem. Second hour pass, wow, the armpit a bit sweaty. Already. The muscle on the arm start to feel warm, start to feel sore. And then the muscle, wow, start to be sour. He can't do it, really. He can't do it. So when he put his arms down, unfortunately, the Israelite started losing the battle. So he forced it up again, and then the battle is won by the Israelite. So what can you do? You know, at that moment, as we read subsequently in the next verse, in verse 12, when Moses' hand grew tired, Aaron and Hur took a stone, put it under him, and he sat down. Remember, Moses was not up there alone. I said three person up the hill. After Moses sat down, Aaron and Hur, they held out his hand, one on each side, you know, so that his hand stayed steady. If you can see the picture, it's at the top right-hand corner. It stayed steady until sunset, and then Joshua was able to overcome the Amalekites with the sword. So, moving to verse 14, you might want to take note of this because I promise you, when you bring the word and when you do the things, God brings you back to Scripture. That means something to you. That's how the Holy Spirit works. And this is so important, verse 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered and make sure that Joshua hears it." So actual translation is, make sure you write this down and you put these words into the ears of Joshua, because all of you are going to be reminded of this moment, because God said that I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven. Verse 15, there you have it, our verse of the day. Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner, Jehovah Nissi." the Lord is my banner. He said, because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord, the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generations to generations. All right. So do you know how a banner actually worked back in those days? You know, maybe I share a little bit. Not similar to what I've shared some of the pictures earlier, but may not look exactly the same. So up in the slide, I've shared some photos of what I found. So initially, before I found this photo, I also thought the banner is something like what we saw earlier. You know, it's a flag that you put up front at the forward edge of battle. But Nisi, you know, banner in our context that we are reading today, what is their role? What is the banner's role, actually? So the Nisi is typically, you know, a symbol. It's a sign. It could be an animal, as you can see from the slide. It could also represent the god that you worship. And you put it on a really large piece of wood, or you put it on a really large reflective metal piece, so that when you go into battle, the person who is carrying this Nisi will lead the way. It was over the people. So the Nisi is actually a huge, huge artifact or banner. So, if you are meeting me on the battlefield to fight, you know, when you are walking from a long distance off, I may not see your face. I also may not see the weapons you will be carrying, but I will surely see your Nisi. I will see the thing that is over you. I see the symbol that represents you. So when we say Jehovah Nisi, the Lord is my banner, the symbolism of that is, as a people go into battle, that means our Lord, He goes over us. It is the Lord that goes before us. Isn't that powerful? So what does that mean? Jehovah Nisi. So what are we going to learn from today? There's a couple of things that I've prayed for, and one of them is I want us to go into action, because maybe some of us here, we are lying down. Maybe some of us are running, but in the opposite direction. So I want to say that I understand and appreciate that life is not easy. It can be tough, it's true. But there is power. There is power in the shepherd. There is power in the provider. There is power in the healer. And there is power when God sees us. And there is power when we know that our Lord is a mighty warrior. So what can we take away from this awesome name, Jehovah Nisi? So I have three key promises that I would like to share and for you to get hold of. So are you ready? Okay, first one. So the number one promise, you need to understand this. The battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. We need to understand that. We need to stop being surprised when we experience battles in our life, when we experience hardship in our lives. You know, why is it important that God tells Moses to write this down? You know why is it so important? Think about it. This is the first time on the other side of freedom that the Israelites experience a battle. The very first time. But would it be the last battle that the Israelites will face in their life? Definitely no. So why is it important? Why is it important to understand that the battle belongs to our Lord? Why is it important for us to understand that battles in our lives, they are real? God told Moses to write this down because you are going to encounter many, many Amalekites in your life. You are going to experience battle after battle. That's why God said, listen, from generation to generation, I am going to take the Amalekites down. So we need to understand that the battles belongs to the Lord. Jehovah Nisi, the banner of God, is a powerful banner. And another time you see Nisi is in the book of Psalms. You know, chapter 60, verse 4. So good. You know, King David says this. He says, but for those who fear you, to God, fear as in having awe, respect, reverence of who God is. God does not want us to be fearful, right? But God also do not want us to be super uncomfortable with him either. You understand, huh? So David says, but for those who fear you, you have raised a banner to be unfurled against the bow. The New Translation Version says, but you have raised a banner for those who fear you, a rallying point in the face of an attack. Understand, as you go into battle, not away from it, as you go into battle, there is a mighty banner that is over you, protecting you, and it is our Jehovah Nissi. So, hashtag moment. Don't tell God how big your battles are. Tell your battles how big your banner is, how big our God actually is. So be encouraged. The battle belongs to the Lord. But there is another piece of this, and it's equally important, and it's to understand that battles are real, like I mentioned, and understand that battles are going to come, so we should stop being surprised. So brothers and sisters, if you are facing conflicts and hardship in your life, we need to go forth in the correct direction to face and fight the Amaleks in our life. However, if the battle belongs to the Lord, then the second promise that we need to know is prayer is the battlefield in which we all fight. We have a responsibility. And I heard this simple but powerful saying recently. It says, you cannot expect a $1 million miracle with a 10 cent prayer. So much wisdom in just a few words, don't you think? Huh? Quite good, huh? So we are called into prayer. You know, so let's turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. And I'm so encouraged after reading these verses. So wonderful. You know, Apostle Paul says, we are pressed but not crushed. He says that in 2 Corinthians. Persecuted but not abandoned. Struck down but not destroyed. So what is the secret? How do we endure? How do we fight? Well, Moses knew that with the Amalekites. They had to go into battle with them. But he also knew that he needed to stand up. He needed to pray over the people because prayer will win the battle time and time again. So Apostle Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to verse 17. It reads, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, he says. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. He did not say, put on one piece. He did not say, put on a piece of that. Huh? He didn't say, put on the breastplate of righteousness, but don't put on the helmet of salvation. Because if you just put on the breastplate, you know what? You protect your heart, but your mind is vulnerable. And on the flip side, if you just put on the helmet of salvation, then the enemy knows he can attack your heart. So Apostle Paul said it is important that you put on the full armor of God and stand firm with the belt of truth, buckle around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. You take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I really love these verses. So I want to ask God to forgive me for not putting on the full armor every single day. Oh, God, to also forgive all of us for forgetting that there is a greater battle at play each day, you know, for every single one of us. Because we are all called into the battlefield. we are all caught. So remember, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So conversely, how many times when we needed to go into battlefield, and there is so much fear in us. So honestly, how many times have we experienced fear when it's time to go into a battle? But that is where our enemy wants us to be. You know, they want us to be in a small, little, and timid prayer life. He does. But I love that Paul says on the other side of these weapons, on the other side of the full armor of God, Paul says this in Ephesians 6:17, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, not some occasions, all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, you will be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So maybe you need to be reminded that God's banner is over your life. And it is true that the battle belongs to the Lord. Maybe you need to be reminded that prayer is the battlefield in which we fight. You pray, and if you don't see anything, keep praying. Be fervent in the way you pray, which then come to the third promise. I also like this a lot. You don't fight alone. You know, you don't fight alone. So this is definitely a lesson for Moses, you know. We all love Moses, right? We love him with all our heart, and our God also loves the hearts when we are like, you know, say that, wow, I can do it. Yes, I am going to do it. Yes, I can do it. And this is exactly what Moses was thinking about. You know, he thought that he just hold up his hands the entire time. But at that moment, Moses also learned his lesson that he can't do it alone. So praise the Lord for Aaron and Hur, who not only pull a rock so that Moses can sit down, they also whisper to him, say, hey, brother, really, it's really sweet what you're trying to do, but I think you need some help. We are here for you. You know, Paul was there, you know, on this side of all this bold talk earlier, right, about the full armor of God, and to pray in all circumstances and situations. But you know what? Paul also said this, you know, he says, pray also for me that whatever I speak, words may be given me so that I will be fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chain. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Paul is saying to the church, hey, as I pray for you, will you also pray for me? You know, Paul was not being selfish. As a matter of fact, he was just being honest. Indeed, we too must pray for each other, and more importantly, pray over our leaders in Agora. And I'm convicted in many ways that our leaders, they are like Moses. They are standing over us with their hands raised. Like Moses, they have prayed for us. They have cried alongside some of us. They have also rejoiced over the many joys and miracles that happen in the lives of many of us. But the truth is, the battle is difficult. The walk is treacherous. And there's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christianity. There is not. And if you question that, I want to remind you of the time that Jesus is carrying the weight of the cross. Not physically. That moment was coming for him, but it was the night before. He knows what is around the corner. He knows the pain. He knows what he's about to endure for all of humanity. And what does he do? Does he say, steady, I'm okay, everything is warm and fuzzy? No. No, you know what he did? He goes to his friends. He says, James, John, and Peter, I need you guys to pray for me. This is really very hard. I know that God is with me. Okay. But I also know that I cannot do it without your prayers. Jesus, God in flesh, recognized that he also cannot do it alone. So what about us? So brothers and sisters, are you fighting the battle alone? So interest of time, I will skip a few slides. I wanted to tell his story, but I jump straight to the back. So today I spoke about the three promises, you know, in the context of Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is our banner. So when the Lord is our banner, when you lay claim of that, remember these three promises. The battle belongs to the Lord. Prayer is the battlefield. And you don't fight alone. I don't know where you are in this story of Jehovah Nissi today, but I know this. These are the promises that we must lay claim. You need to be reminded of God's banner is over you, in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in the job you have lost, in your insecurities, in your doubts, in your failures. Jehovah Nissi. So as you look up over the hill, you know where your help will come from. You know, God's banner will be on the hill when you lift up your head. Lastly, we don't fight alone. We know life is not easy. There's a lot of ups. There are also many downs. So when you are down, don't fret. You are not alone. And you're not supposed to be alone. God did not create us as an island. He created us to be a community. So, ask for help. Ask for prayers. You know, because you don't fight alone. Be bold and be brave. So what are you waiting for? Claim it. Thank you.
Check 1, 2. Best person to do this, right, Wai Kiong? I only got a plan that you get a... He's a commando, Elvin. In Singapore, he's a commando. You get a commando to talk about Jehovah Nissi. You don't get people like me, right? Do I look like a commando to you? I don't. I want you to just go to Exodus 17, and I want to encourage some of us who think that maybe, wow, so difficult with the Bible. But when you read the Bible, sometimes you just read it and you understand a few things. Will you just quickly go to me with Exodus 17? Now, Amalek 17 verse 8. I want to talk to people like Sam. When you read the Bible, new Bible has been given to you. Or you read the Bible and God will talk to you about things. Now you go to Exodus 17, 8. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim, and Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. I've got a question for you. Is this the first battle that the Israelites had when they were released? They parted the Red Sea, they came out, right? Royston? First battle. How many hours? 14 hours. Amalekites are warlike. They know how to fight. The Israelites, have they been fighting? They did nothing. They were in Egypt. Before that, just laying bricks and construction worker. They have no fight experience. They never battled before. So you are now talking about a David Goliath kind of scenario. Are you with me? You are talking about fighting the Amalekites who have been fighting. They are warlike. The Israelites never fought before. You think they got better experience? Zero. They are not a commando, they are not like Royston. It's like sending Wang to go and fight Royston. Royston is Amalek. Wang? Wang's a piece of char siu. But when God is with him, he will win. Now that is something you need to know. Question. Moses said to Joshua, listen, I didn't see it, but until I see it now. Sam, listen. Choose us some men and go out. Fight with Amalek. So, Gan, now you know you're supposed to go and fight people like the real commandos, and God tells you, choose us some men. I've got a question for you. Who do you choose? And the fights that we have our fights in our marriage, in our job, and whatever. So are you going to fight or not? Are you going to be a coward and say, I don't want to fight? Because when there is a choice, some of you may not want to fight. Are you with me? It says there, choose us some men. If you are Joshua, who will you choose? I choose Phyllis, man. I choose some people here. I may not choose some people because I know they are not up for the fight. Guys, we need to fight. And you have a choice. Elvin, want to fight now? Don't fight, lor. If Joshua comes here, hey, sorry, lah, Joshua, you know, my leg pain. Can you choose somebody else? Possible? Or you pretend you're sick. It says here, choose. And when they fought, how many hours? 14 hours. So when they are fighting, visualize this. Joshua is the general that Moses had command of. So Moses' general is Joshua. Joshua, I'm telling you, General Joshua, go and fight. Go and get some men. When you're fighting, you're fighting. And then after a while, do they not know that when Moses' hands are raised, they are winning? Do you think that 14 hours they know or don't know? What do you think? June, do they know? Don't think so. Do they know? I think they know, no? See, that's why sometimes the Bible doesn't tell anything. But when they are fighting, they're thinking, hey, very chim, lah. When Moses' arms are raised, we are winning, you know. But when he's tired, but when he's raised, win. So I tell you something, guys. You must also know that when you're fighting on the ground, there's another battle out there. There's a spiritual battle. Some of us don't understand that as believers. You got a problem, man. I've got a problem. I find that if I'm fighting on the ground and I'm just, let's say some of us are fighting in terms of our marriage or whatever you're fighting, you don't know that actually God is fighting for you. But when you know God is fighting for you, your battle is easier. So when you're fighting at the time, look and see, hey, God, you're fighting for me. Doesn't that change your perspective when you fight? Whereas you're fighting, just focus on the fighting. Very tiring, you know. 14 hours, you're thinking, wow, where are you going to finish? But when you look up and you find that there's another battle up there in the spiritual and God's fighting for you, doesn't that change things? Doesn't that make the fight worth fighting for? What battles do you have today? I want to tell you what our battles, unless you're Ukrainian, you're unlikely to go to war, right? Kissinger says 100th birthday. Well, maybe if you don't watch it, Taiwan may be sucked in. That's what he says. He, the elder statesman, older than Lee Kuan Yew. What wars do you have? Our wars are not those kind of wars, but wars are with our marriage, our work, the raising of our children, the problems at work. But we need to come to a point to say, God, I want to be that man that Joshua can use. I will fight. So today, I want to invite you, as I tell Esther to just come forward. Will you be that man that God can use and you are prepared to fight? And fight the war knowing that God is with you. Just prepare your hearts. It will come to a time of just taking the Lord's Supper. I'm also reminded that I should give a verse, and I ask God, what verse do you want me to look at as we come before you for the communion? I'm reminded, I saw this word temptation. So I looked, and then I found, if you find your Bibles open with me, and with that I want you to get ready, Galatians 6:1. Galatians 6:1, and today I will read Galatians 6:1-3, and I want us to get ready, even as you hear what a wonderful message from our brother Royston. Look at Galatians 6:1. Dear brothers and sisters, if any believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ. Listen to this. I don't know what version you have, but mine, I'm reading the NLT version. It says here, and I think it's very good, if you think you're too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Dear brothers and sisters, if anyone is overcome by another sin, if another believer is overcome by another sin, you who are godly, you should gently and humbly help that person back to the right path. But the warning to you is this, when you are doing it, don't fall to a temptation yourself. Sometimes you've got this problem. Let's say you're all fighting together, right? Let's say I find actually Gun did something stupid. He go and kill someone. Then I'll be thinking, you shouldn't kill someone, you know, shouldn't punch a colleague. But after a while, thinking, Gun's supposed to be very spiritual, what? But if he can punch someone, why can I not? You see the temptation? Because some people, when you're fighting alongside, they do something stupid. You say, actually, Gun, he's very mature Christian. If he can do it, I also can, right? Don't fall into that temptation. Are you following me? Today, as you come before the Lord, as Royston brings us up, we talk about fighting. Sometimes when you fight, you look at someone, you may get tempted to lose, you know, to be discouraged. Or you may feel that, I'm the colonel, I'm Colonel Wai Kiong, you are some sergeant, I don't care about you. Be careful not to fall temptation, same tension yourself. Share each other's burdens. So don't say, sometimes it's in Singapore, some not, his problem is Tai Chi. How about we share each other's burdens when we fight together? And in this way, obey the law of Christ. Listen, verse 3 says, if you think you're too important to help someone, we're all fighting together. If you think you're too important to help someone, maybe I think, I'm a lawyer, I'm a senior guy, why should I help people like Luther? I don't care. Or do we say, guys, we're in this together as we fight? So I want to encourage us, as we come before the Lord's Supper today, get your attitude right. Know that you can't run away from fighting, friends. The war is there. How about it makes sense if we say, number one, and we'll talk about it in about a few weeks' time, the Lord is there. He is present. He's omnipotent. He is with us. The Lord is there. And it presupposes we fight together, and we must. We don't fight alone, like Rayson said. Fight not alone, but also know that it's the battle on the ground. Moses fighting up there, but guess what? The Lord is there. But please, don't think of yourself either too high or mighty, cannot get your hands dirty, don't want to help people, or, you know, not worth the help. We fight together. No one is too important, or no one is too unimportant that you don't help. When you help someone, don't yourself help someone, don't fall to temptation. So today, as we come before the Lord's communion, I want to invite you, check your hearts and get it right. Can we all stand?
Let's fix our eyes on Jesus. Because He's fighting for us. And He has won the battles. I just want to encourage all of us to whatever that's in your heart, whatever that you're going through now, today's a time of surrender. Today is a time to give it to Him. His yoke is easy. And if you're ready, let's worship Him in this song.
Song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. The name Jesus, the only one we could ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you.
Holy,
holy, oh, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Let's worship Jesus.
Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. You, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. I will build my life upon it is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. I will build my life upon your love.
It is
a firm foundation.
Died just a couple of days back. You know why? Because the foundation was not strong. The structure collapsed. He was buried within 2 meters. Took some time to find him. And today, Straits Times, you look at the grand uncle just crying uncontrollably. So sad. So sad. There are some of us from construction industry. Things happen, right, in the work site. But for us, it's different. Jesus is that firm foundation. So if things look around you when you're fighting, it looks like it's going to collapse. Know this, Moses, Jesus, they're fighting for us.
Amen.
So I want you to just come before the Lord. And as you just prepare to take the communion, just come before the Lord and say, God, I will not be a coward. I will fight the good fight. And if you're ready, I want you to just come before the Lord as you just have this opportunity, will you come before the Lord, and if your knees are able to sustain you, I want you to kneel. Dear brothers and sisters, if any believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back into the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you think you're too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Will you come before the Lord? Search your hearts and be prepared to take the communion. Peel off the first layer. The biscuit bowl represents the body of Christ, and the liquid, the blood of Christ. And my brothers and sisters, will you check your hearts, judge yourself, and if you're ready, commit to the Lord all the battles that you have, and tell the Lord, Lord, may I be the chosen one in the army. I will fight. I'll fight the battle in my marriage. I'll fight the battle in my job. I'll fight the battle in my faith. So that, Lord, when I meet you face to face, I can say to you, Lord, I have fought the good fight. Take this time, my friends. What a precious time. Get this right before the Lord. And when you're ready, I invite you, partake of the communion. When you're ready, I invite you.
Strength when I am weak, you are the treasure that I seek, you are my all and all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'll be a fool, you are my all and all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Jesus, Lamb of God.
Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Lord, you have took our sins.
Taking my sins, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all and all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all and all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
What's he taking my sin?
Taking my sin, cross my shame, rising again, I bless your name, you are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my
Sing Jesus, you're Jesus. You're the Lamb of God. Worthy is your name. Sing, you are Jesus. Jesus, you're the Lamb of God. Worthy is your name.
So
song as we deal this series, His name matters, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. So as I invite you to just lift your hands before the Lord, as I bring the service to an end. Jesus, Lamb of God, my brother or sister, as they lift their hands to you, Lord, they are saying, Jesus, your name is worthy. And Lord, I pray for my brother and sister, they will live their life prepared to fight the battle, so that your name will be glorified. So I pray for you, as you lift the name of God, the Lord bless you with His blood. Lord, the blood of Jesus cover my brother and sister, so that, Lord, when they fight the battles out there, in their marriage, in their job, in their finances, in one thing, their whole household, I pray a special blessing for some of us who are coming to the faith, that, Lord, open a door, so that as for they and the household, the rest will also come. So Lord, do something as we fight the battle. As we fight this battle, Lord, thank you for reminding us that we are not alone. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord's blood be enough for you. We pray all this through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. See you next week.